It's Tuesday night, Jaguars fans. Time for the Jaguars Coaches Show.
Jaguars Coaches Show.
With your hosts, play-by-play man Brian Sexton and the head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Mel Tucker.
Mel Tucker.
The Jaguars Coaches Show is brought to you by Sonny's Real Fit Barbecue, Wells Fargo, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to the Jaguars Coaches Show. I'm Brian Sexton, pleased to be joined by smiling Mel Tucker. Not that you're not smiling all the time, but it's been a good couple of days around here, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has been. It's always good after a win.
You know, there's a word, and I've heard a couple of coaches use it over the years, but it's validation. And that is that you've got a philosophy, you've got an approach to practice, you've got an approach to your day, and if you don't get the wins, you don't get that sense of validation, and it doesn't necessarily translate to the players unless you get that win. What does the word validation mean to you?
Well, this business, football and NFL, it's a bottom line production business, and at the end of the day, what really counts is if you're in the left-hand column or not. Yeah. And so when you are able to get wins, it does somewhat validate, you know, what you're doing and what you're preaching to the players and to everyone involved. And so sometimes you don't get the win, you don't get the validation, maybe from a perception standpoint or outside of your organization, but you have to know deep down that you're doing the right things, and eventually it will equate to winning. And so we were able to get a win and somewhat validate what we were doing and what we're going to continue to do.
All right, if you have a thought for Coach Tucker or a question, you can join us, 355-NFL-1. For those of you listening in Jacksonville, to News Talk WOKV, or if you're across the network or listening on the Internet, you can dial us up toll-free, 800-355-6351. This is kind of awkward to begin a show 2 days after a game when today is really Friday. And we do the show on Tuesday, but today's Friday in your work week. You get ready to get on the road tomorrow to go to Atlanta. How do you handle a week where you essentially have to cram 6 days into two?
Yeah, we just plan accordingly. We know that it's a short week. We knew that going in. We have to first and foremost make sure the players get enough rest. They were off yesterday. We bring them in today. We cut the practice down, take the pads off, take the helmets off, get the work in that we need to get in our first and second down game plan. We'll come in tomorrow. We'll get our third down red zone and short yardage goal line game plans tomorrow, and then we'll take the show on the road.
Is this a point in the season where teams, especially now with the new collective bargaining agreement that limits the number of padded practices that you can have, but is this or has this become a time of the season where you are naturally backing off and focusing more on the mental reps as much as you are the physical reps because of the long season?
Yeah, this time of the year, typically you would look to back down where you can and where you need to based upon the health of your team, the maturity of your team, what you think you need to emphasize as a football team. This week, regardless of where we would be health-wise on a short week, we wouldn't be in pads this week at all.
Coach, do you have any health on your team? For goodness sakes, 27 players have gone to the injured reserve list, and a number of key players that you work towards. I mean, that in all my years around this league, and we're going on 20, I have never seen something like this, and they're legitimate injuries. I mean, we're not hiding people on there. Chris Brzezinski breaks his thumb.
Sure.
You have just had a rash of injuries, and I guess that just is the way it goes sometimes, huh?
Yeah, it's a human performance business, and in some years you have more injuries than other, and this year, as we know, we've had our fair share, but you can't get frustrated by it. You just have to.
Next man up, huh?
It's next man up, and Gene Smith does a great job making sure that we have the guys ready in the wings that we need to proceed.
How do you take a guy and choose one? Taylor Price. I'm still working on my pronunciation for Ansa. I'll call him Ansa. Akwasi Owusu Ansa.
We call him Akwasi.
Akwasi, there you go. So you choose one. And he comes in, and he's got to play. I mean, how in the world, Coach, do you get a guy who's just come in here in this game up to speed so quickly?
Well, we know that we have who we have, and we feel like if they pass the evaluation that Gene puts them through, that they're pretty good football players. Now, whether they know our system or not, that's another thing. So we have to make sure that we structure things in a way that when they go in the game, they have to do certain things, and we make sure that whatever they need to know, they know for that game.
Sure.
And then we build on it from there. So some guys, you know, we'll play them situationally. They may be in a third down package, and that type of thing. And if they have to play more because of injuries during the game, then you know I have to know as a play caller, you know, what does this player know? What can he execute right now? And that may limit us somewhat, but it's better that the players know exactly what to do and they can play fast and be physical than be out there and not know what to do, not know where to be, and not be able to play fast and be effective.
And with all due respect to Kwasi, right? Is that what you call
him? Yes.
Kwasi? I will learn his name. By Thursday night, I will. But I do the spotting chart, and I've got names written in all over the place.
Sure.
You know? Driving Loggeman crazy because you know how he is about getting everything in its place and having everything nice and neat, and we're having to redo this. It's been crazy,
yeah.
And it's a great learning experience, as this entire season has been for you, I'm sure, Coach.
Yeah, and as a coach, I've had years in the past where, you know, even coaching secondary where guys would go down and you take safeties and have to play them at corner, and guys would come up with a staph infection the night before the game. You're moving guys around, you know, day of the game and things like that. I mean, things come up. It's just very important that you have to know, okay, what do these guys know? What can they execute in the game? And then you do those things in the game. I mean, it really boils down to that. You don't want to ever ask a guy to do something he can't do.
All right, we've got plenty to talk about. The Falcons are 8-5 in the middle of a playoff race. And we will talk about that with Coach Mel Tucker here on the Jaguars Coaches Show. Folks, when you're out looking for department store style this Christmas season and you're looking for discount prices, go no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. There are 6 locations in Jacksonville, and the folks at Stein Mart offer you more fashion at less price. And we'll be back with more of the Coaches Show with Mel Tucker after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back. You're listening to the Jaguars Coaches Show with Mel Tucker. You can join us 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351, 8:20 kickoff on Thursday night from the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. For those of you listening in Jacksonville, we'll start with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show at 5 o'clock. Pick up the network at 7 o'clock, kickoff at 8:20. Of course, the Winn-Dixie Post Game Show and the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show will follow as you expect it to. Every Jaguars game day. Hey, and rightfully so, Tim Tebow is getting most of the press, hogging up most of the air in the National Football League right now. If he wasn't, I dare say that Maurice Jones-Drew would be the talk of the NFL for the way that he's playing. And not to denigrate the offense, but it struggled this year to pass the ball, and everyone knows it. And so defenses have stacked the line of scrimmage, and it doesn't make any difference. Maurice Jones-Drew just keeps creating opportunities for himself and his team, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's playing at a very high level. Again, relentless competitor, you know, week in and week out. You know exactly what you're going to get from Mojo. I mean, he just always there, dependable. And the one thing that people don't talk a lot about is, I mean, he's a huge threat in the passing game. I mean,
you've gone that way the last couple of weeks, haven't you? Is that a reaction to the fact that everyone's stacking it against the run that you've thrown it? 6 catches in each of the last 2 games.
Well, I think a lot of credit goes to Dirk Cutter. He does a great job with the game plan and finding ways to get Maurice touches, and because he knows that he's dangerous with the ball in his hands, whether it's run or pass.
And here's the thing that amazes me. He runs the ball like Earl Campbell, right? Which is to say he delivers the blow. And yet he stands after the game, and it looks fine. You know, he doesn't look like a guy who has taken and delivered a beating. I'm amazed that he has been there. He leads the league with 277 rushing attempts. He leads the league with 312 overall offensive touches. And is he on the injury report? I mean, I know that you guys rest veteran players like
sure.
that, but he seems healthy. Well, how is that possible?
Well, I tell you what, he does a great job in conditioning in the out of season. Come in and in shape and ready to go. He does a great job with Mike Ryan and our training staff of just maintenance during the season, and Luke Richardson in the weight room. And so it's a total team effort to keep our players going. And a guy like Maurice, he's a veteran player. He knows that his body is his business, and so he's going to make sure that he does everything he can to give himself and give us the best chance every week.
Well, I read that in the newspaper this morning that he's sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber. So, I mean, it goes the extra mile above and beyond. And that's it's tough to think of him as a veteran because he's still a young man, and yet that's the kind of leadership that a young team needs. A young quarterback benefits from playing with Maurice Jones-Drew, doesn't he?
Absolutely. You know, he leads by example, and he can show the way to younger players on both sides of the ball. You can look at Maurice and say, hey, this is the way it's supposed to be done. And obviously he's learned from veteran players when he came in the league, so it kind of passes down that way. But, you know, he's just a tremendous asset for us, and again, I'm glad he's on our team.
I sat and did a film room segment for your television show that we're going to tape after the game this week, and it'll run on Sunday, with Ernest Biner. And he showed a play. We were talking about the running backs and pass protection, Greg Jones and Maurice Jones-Drew, and he showed the 62-yard throw to Mercedes. And in that particular instance, you had both Maurice and Greg hit their guys in pass protection, which allowed Blaine to step up into the pocket. And we've been talking about pocket presence ad nauseum about Blaine Gabbert lately.
Sure.
And what Ernest said is that the focus is on the finish. And I thought that was a very poignant thing to say. And he said that's what you've been working on here the last couple of weeks since you've become the head coach here. Can you share a little bit about the thought of finishing with your football team?
Well, finishing is huge. I mean, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And that's a mentality. I mean, we want to play through the echo of the whistle. Typically, in the NFL practices that I've been in my 7 years, there's really been no whistle in practice. And I thought it was important to bring the whistle back. And because there's a whistle in the game. And so, you know, every opportunity we have, we play through the echo of the whistle, and guys are starting to take pride in that and understanding that that's how you gain an advantage. You know, you want to finish your blocks, finish your routes, finish your tackling, finish your plays, you know, both sides of the ball and special teams, and that's how you need to play the game. The game of football is meant to be played just one way, and that's all out to the whistle.
Coach, the other reason I'm excited to show this play and have Ernest's commentary, you know, with it is because it goes to show you that it really is the ultimate team game. For the pocket to exist, you've got to have the offensive line. For Blaine to be able to step up into it on that particular play and make that great throw, both Maurice and Greg had to execute their blocks perfectly, and they did. And when we talk about the young quarterback, it's not all on him. It's on the team around him all executing as well, isn't it?
I would say you're exactly right. This is the ultimate team game, and it takes all 11 guys to be on the same page consistently, you know, 60 to 65 plays in a game, and that's hard to do, and that's why the preparation, the practice tempo, all those things come into play. And we've said from the beginning, you know, obviously Blaine has to improve, and he knows that, but we have to improve around him because it takes every guy doing his job. And that play that you're talking about, obviously the offensive line did a great job. Greg and Maurice stepped up and got their blocks. Blaine did his job, and the receivers ran the routes. And then that was execution from an offensive standpoint, overall offensive execution and rhythm, and a very successful play. The key to the drill is how often can you execute at a high level in a game.
One more thought on that game, and then we'll take a break and start talking about the Falcons. But, Coach, we're talking about Tucker. Donald Penn. Pro Bowl left tackle, Jeremy Mincy, trucked him. I mean, Jeremy Mincy absolutely gave him everything he could handle and more than he could handle on a couple of different plays. And we're talking about an enormous man. Jeremy Mincy has brought it all season long, hasn't he?
Yeah, Mincy's relentless. And, you know, he's the type of guy that you always point to when you want to give the guys an example of relentless play. And you know, that's who he is. He only knows how to play the game one way, and that's why he's been able to be successful at this level. He's a guy that's a bootstrap guy, you know, a meat and potatoes guy, high motor, high energy, high effort, you know, passionate about the game, loves his teammates, loves his coaches, and it shows up on the field. And then week in and week out, you know exactly what you're going to get from Jeremy Mincy.
All right, folks, we need to take a break. And as we go, we remind you that you can win a VIP game day experience when the Jaguars play the Colts here on New Year's Day. And it's all from our friends at Gate. You'll get 4 game day tickets, 4 VIP Sky Patio Lounge passes, plus a limo for 4 people to and from the game. Stop by your nearby Gate gas station to register. Jaguars fans, put Gate in your tailgate. We're back after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to the Jaguars Coaches Show with Mel Tucker here on a Tuesday evening. Very short week. Jaguars en route to Atlanta tomorrow to get ready to take on the Falcons. And when you look at this Falcons team, first of all, 8-5, in the middle of the playoff race there. They've got a quarterback who is very good, and they are very good at home. So it's a formidable challenge. When you look at their offense, Coach, let's start with the defensive side of the ball. What is it that stresses your defense the most?
Well, these guys, they do a great job running the football. Year in and year out, they're one of the top offenses relative to running the ball. And when you look at a guy like Michael Turner, you know, he is a hard, you know, downhill runner, yards after contact type guy. It takes more than one guy. You can't leave it up to one guy to get him on the ground. And so that does put pressure on your defense. They do a great job in their passing game, and they spread the ball around pretty good. When you look at a guy like Tony Gonzalez, he's a guy who they can still do it. You know, Matt Ryan looks to him quite a bit. He's very comfortable with him, and Gonzalez has great range. I mean, if the ball is anywhere close,
he gets it.
He comes down with it. Outside, you look at Julio Jones and Roddy White. I mean, those are big-time receivers right there. I'm talking about these are elite-type guys. And even though Julio's a young player, he doesn't play like it.
His three touchdowns have longer than 50 yards.
Yeah, very, very explosive, strong to the ball. And both of these guys do a great job in the run game. I mean, when they're very unselfish players. When they get after it in terms of trying to create extra yards for their running backs in the run game. So they just do a great job. They have great balance. They have great great scheme. Coach Malarkey does a great job with those guys. And so it's going to be a tough challenge for us.
Let's go back to those receivers on the outside, because if we go back to the Chargers game, we know that San Diego was able to get some plays down the field. You talked on the show after that Monday night game about safeties and having to stay over the top. What do your guys have to do to be successful against a guy that averages 18 yards a catch in Julio Jones and a three-time Pro Bowler in Roddy White that's averaging about 13?
Yeah, we have to do our best to stay on top of the receivers, not let them throw the ball over our head. That's the first thing. And they are going to make some plays, but when they do catch the ball, we got to tackle them right there.
Are they run-to-catch guys or are they run-and-catch guys?
They're both.
Wow.
You know, they're both. If they catch a short to intermediate pass, they have the ability to run after the catch and turn it into a huge gain. So we have to make sure that if they do catch the ball, that we tackle them right there and line up and play again, and then nothing cheap over the top. With an offense like this, you got to make them go the long, hard way, make them work for everything they get. No explosive gains.
You know, Logs talks about eye violations all the time. That really is a focus of the defensive backs, isn't it? I mean, you cannot turn your eyes the wrong direction.
Eye discipline is critical, and virtually every position on defense, you have your stance alignment, and then you have your key. And your key is what are you looking at the snap of the ball, and where should your eyes be? And so in the defensive backfield, eye violations are touchdowns. And so it's imperative that we have our eyes in the right spot for 60 minutes, four quarters in the game. And when you do that, that gives you the best chance to eliminate the explosive gains.
What are your thoughts on the quarterback? I mean, here is a guy that since November 1st, this is what I like the most about him. Since November 1st, and I think everyone agrees that November is when, you know, playoff caliber teams step forward. He has 14 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So clearly his game has gotten better as the games have become more meaningful for the Falcons.
Well, you know, obviously he gets better as he goes, and I think they call him Matty Ice, and they call him that for a reason. I mean, he's clutch. He's very, very dependable. He's a fierce competitor. Typically, when you see really good quarterbacks in this league, they are the number one competitor on their team, respective teams, and he is that. And so we saw him in the preseason. And he hasn't changed. I mean, he's a guy that can do it all. Has tremendous command of the offense. He does a great job in their no huddle when they decide to go there. He knows when the blitz is coming. He can read coverages. He can make all the throws. You know, he's one of those guys that can put a team on his back and can win games for you down the stretch.
So how much value is there for you, Coach, that you have practiced against these guys in a prolonged setting in each of the last two summers? You played them back in August in a preseason game. Can you rely on anything that you learned about these guys getting ready for those practices and watching them afterwards that could help you?
Well, we can compare, you know, what we've seen from these guys early and compare it to what they're doing now. And some of it is the same, some of it is different. And so I'm not sure how much that's going to help us. I mean, they're going to do what they do. We're going to do what we do. But the bottom line is how we execute on Thursday night.
You got 3 sacks last week. And I think Jeremy Mincy missed at least 2 more. And we were busting him about that. And he, of course, just smiles because he knows. He's got a great personality.
Sure.
Were you happy with the pressure? We talked last week on this show about with the secondary, you know, in this transitional phase they're in without a bunch of starters, that the front had to create some pressure. Were you happy with what you got?
Yeah, we did generate more pressure. We got it with 4 and we got it with 5, and that's good to see. And I think the coverage and the rush was working together. Anytime you can get the quarterback to hold the ball just a little bit longer, it gives your rush a little bit more chance to develop and get there. And so just a combination of relentless second and third effort from our front guys and our pass rushers and better coverage in the back end, you know, that's how you get the pressures and the sacks on the quarterback.
You know, 3 games now, Yabody has a fumble recovery for a touchdown. He didn't play quite as well against the Chargers. That's not a surprise. And then last week comes back with the interception and generally strong play, albeit against a team he was in camp with, so he knew something about that. The other side, Kevin Rutland. What have you seen from the young man? I know you've had him here since the offseason ended and training camp began. Is he progressing? Do you like what you see from him, or is he out there because you need him right now?
No, I like what I see out of Rutt. He's a young player that gets better and better every day. He takes coaching. And you can coach him hard, and he'll keep coming back. He doesn't go in the tank when you get after him in practice and confront him and demand that he do things a certain way. He's very, very coachable. He's a competitor. We worked him out at Missouri. I liked him then. We were able to get him here, you know, after the draft, and it's paying off for us big time. He's one of those guys that, you know, if he continues to get better, I think he's got a future in this league.
355-NFL-1-800-355-6351. Folks, New Year's Day, Jaguars-Colts game, it's Fan Appreciation Day. It's also Weaver Appreciation Day, and a time to show yours to the Weavers by coming out to say goodbye. Fans are encouraged to sign a 20-foot banner that will be displayed in the Pepsi Plaza from 10 till noon that day. You can also create your own banners that show your appreciation. Bring them to the game. It's a celebration of 17 years of football with the Weavers, and for tickets to the game, 904-633-2000 or jaguars.com. This break, then more to come here on the Jaguars Radio Network. And welcome back to the Jaguars Coaches Show. Brian Sexton along with Mel Tucker. We'll take your calls at 355-NFL-1. We have said it over and over and over again, a very short week. Will you practice tomorrow, or is tomorrow a legit Saturday where you'll just do a walkthrough and then go to the airport?
We'll do an extended walkthrough.
Okay. And that just means a little bit more time on the field.
Just a little bit more time on the field, but we cut it down today, and then we'll have an extended walkthrough. We won't tax them too much, and then we'll head to the airport.
And how do you coach your guys to handle that long day up until a primetime game? It's helpful that they've played 2 already this year. But that's a day where, you know, boy, it can seem to stretch forever.
Yeah, it can. We'll get them up and before brunch, and we'll go on a team walk, and we'll walk around the property there and just get the blood pumping, and then we'll have brunch, and then we'll head into a series of meetings, offense, defense, special teams, and then we'll get them back off their feet, and then they'll come back down for the pregame meal. It'll be 4 hours before the game, and then we'll head on.
And then you're into a normal routine. You know,
absolutely.
Over their history, Jaguars have played a number of these Thursday night games, but never won on the road. You know, and even though it's only Atlanta, the challenge is the short week and the road, isn't it? I mean, even your team handles the road fine, but short week on the road is a challenge.
Yeah, and it's all about focus. We talked in the team meeting this morning about laser focus, and that's what we have to have. I mean, so much of it is mental, and your mental disposition towards preparing, towards competing, towards, you know, getting yourself ready to go. And handling whatever distractions or challenges that present themselves. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, there's a certain amount of games you got to play on the road, you know, and then we have an alternative schedule. We knew that going in, and so we have to handle it.
How much different is the energy level going to be on the Falcons' part than, say, the Buccaneers? The Buccaneers came in having lost 6 ball games in a row. Now you go up, you get a team that's in the playoff race right now, and they've won six of their last eight. I mean, it's a good test for this football team to go up there and show the focus that you're speaking of.
Yeah, I expect the Falcons to be at their best. I expect them to be operating at a high level.
Which a year ago was the best team in the NFC in the regular season.
They've got tremendous pride. They have a great coaching staff. All these players in the NFL, they want to play well, and they're at home. And so, I don't expect any type of letdown from those guys. They're great coaches, great players. They're going to be professionals, and we have to expect these guys to be at their very best.
All right, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. A week from yesterday, that's December 19th, RPM Automotive at 9148 Phillips Highway, which is near the avenues, invites you to join them for cookies with the Jaguars rookies, noon till 2. They'll sign autographs, share cookies, and give you a chance to win an autographed football and club seats to the Jaguars-Colts game at Everbank Field on New Year's Day. We'll take this break, come back, talk about the defense of the Atlanta Falcons with head coach Mel Tucker when we return on Jaguars Radio. Well, fans, you can text BBQ to 72239. That's BBQ 72239. That will enter you for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You can hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. Brian Sexton back with Jaguars head coach Mel Tucker. Take a little look at the defense led by Brian Van Gorder, who was here in 2005 as the Jaguars linebackers coach. This is a team, coach, that does a good job against the run. 12 of their last 19 opponents have run for fewer than 100 yards. So, and then, of course, they're coming with their sights set on number 32. That creates a certain mentality your offensive line has to have, doesn't it?
Yeah, obviously, it's going to be a tremendous challenge for us. Our guys will be up to it. It's going to take, first and foremost, tremendous intensity, pad level, footwork and hand placement, and guys working hard for 60 minutes, four quarters in the game to finish blocks, and that's what's going to take against these guys.
It's interesting. You talk about hand placement for those offensive linemen. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, so it's just basic fundamentals at every position. Hands inside. It's not just using your hands, but where you place your hands on the opponent. And typically, you want your hands inside and in the numbers area, nice and tight, and not outside of the framework of your body where you lose your power.
You look at John Abraham, 107.5 career sacks, which is 17th most in NFL history. What a challenge for Eugene Monroe out there, who's had a nice season. We haven't talked about him a whole lot, and so people think, well, maybe he's not playing all that well. He's a left tackle. They don't get talked about all that often. But this one in particular has really – he's grown this season, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's done a nice job, and he was a – when you talk about finishing, he did a real nice job this last game finishing his blocks and – and even today, and whatever we did today was limited, but you could see him working on his technique and his fundamentals and his finish, even with a quick whistle today. So he's dialed in. He wants to be a great player. He knows that he has tremendous ability. He knows we're counting on him. So he's just I have no issues with the way he's working and the way he's preparing.
I don't know whether it's fair to say that he has a somewhat stoic personality. I mean, he doesn't walk around here with a lot of emotion that you see on his face. But, again, the film session that I taped with Ernest Biner earlier today, he showed a couple of finishes that you were talking about where he showed great emotion on the field, and I thought that was interesting. It was him taking a step forward in his mental approach to the game.
Yeah, it's a mentality, and it starts up front. We talk about all the time, offensive line and defensive line. That's in the trenches. That's where it starts. And you have to have a relentless mentality there, a great pad level, great hand placement, great footwork. You got to be able to get a surge and knock guys back, win one-on-one. You got to be able to finish guys. And he's taking pride in his finish right now, and we're going to build on that.
What do you expect from Uche Nwaneri, who has probably been your most consistent offensive lineman all season long? Last week, not quite his best game, three straight holding calls there late in the ball game. What do you expect from him against John Babineau? Do you expect him to come out and play his best game now?
I expect him to come out here and play lights out. I mean, because obviously he knows he needs to play better. He wants to play better, and it's going to come down to technique and fundamentals. He's got all the ability in the world, and he just needs to be a little bit better knee bender, a little bit better hand placement, and he's got to finish better, and he'll do those things, and that's what it's all about. You go out there, you perform, you assess your performance, and it wasn't all bad.
Yeah.
And you say, hey, here's the things I did well, build on those, the things that I didn't do well, I got to get those cleaned up. And when you look at him, it's not a matter of effort or things like that. It's just technique and fundamentals, and he'll get that done.
You know, when I look at linebacking corps around the NFL, and obviously when you had Clint out there with Paul and Darryl, you had a strong argument for having the best linebacking corps in the NFL. If it isn't, especially in a 4-3, Atlanta is probably right there with you guys. In particular, Sean Weatherspoon, their first-round pick a year ago on one outside, and Lee High School product Nicholas, on the other side, is a guy who, boy, they can really play.
Yeah, these guys, they know how to play the game. I mean, these guys are old-school, downhill, butt-you-in-the-throat linebackers, you know, run and hit guys, and these are the type of guys that you need to have a good defense, these type of players. They've done a great job from a personnel standpoint. You know, on both sides of the ball, they've drafted well, bringing in good players, supplementing the draft with a good bunch of free agents, and they play a relentless style of football as well on the defense side of the ball. Coach Van Gorder and Mike Smith, obviously, very involved. They do a great job.
All right, folks, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Our next break, and then we'll come back getting close to the end of the Jaguars Coaches Show this evening. With Mel Tucker, you can join us, 355-NFL1. And you're listening on the Jaguars Radio Network. And welcome back to the Jaguars Coaches Show. Brian Sexton along with Mel Tucker here. And we've got a couple of callers on the line, so let's grab Dave in St. Augustine up first in the segment. Dave, good to hear from you.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. I wasn't going to let this show go by without somebody saying congratulations on your first NFL head coaching win, Coach. It was a good game. I was really glad to see the team stick with it after kind of a slow start, you know, and get a good team win. It was really, it was right on time. It was just what we needed. So was proud of the way you guys hung in there and fought hard and really played a good, complete game and finished strong. So here's to many more, Coach. Congratulations and good luck this week. I know you guys got your hands full, so go Jaguars. Let's get it.
Hey, thanks for the call, Dave. Really appreciate that. The guys did they did come together. We did get off to a slow start, but they battled back. And there was never any doubt in their minds that we could get back in the ball game. And it started with our special teams, and we were able to catch fire on offense, and then defense was relentless, and we were able to force some takeaways in that regard. So it was a great team win for us, and it's something that we need to build upon.
Historically speaking, it was one of those team wins that doesn't happen very often, where all three phases score. Hadn't happened since 1998 in a game in Baltimore.
And that's fun. You know, everyone's involved. Today in the team meeting, we gave game balls to the entire team. And that's unusual, but it was that type of atmosphere. It was that type of effort from a team standpoint, offense, defense, special teams. Everyone had a role. Every role was significant, and we came together. And that's what you got to do in this league. You got to play at a high level in all three phases.
355-NFL1. Theo is in Orange Park. Theo, you're up next with Mel Tucker. Good evening.
Hey, Mel. I just want to also say congratulations on your first win in your Gatorade bath there. And I really watched a few interviews with you, and I've really enjoyed seeing the conviction that you seem to. You just possess this. It's like a mental toughness that comes across when you speak, and when I'm sure that comes across to the players as well. And it must galvanize the team, and it's galvanized me and the fans. And we're really happy to see somebody that's like taking the control and taking the reins. And my question was. How do you prepare the secondary, these young guys coming in? And, I mean, what do you do to get them ready to play on the NFL level?
Theo, thanks for the call. Really appreciate that. And, you know, we really believe in what we're doing. And we have a tremendous confidence in our players and trust that they will do whatever we ask these guys to do, and we'll do the same for them. When you get new secondary players in, first and foremost, you have to assess, you know, what can this guy do well? What can he do in the fourth quarter when he's tired, if he has to be in there, and then you go from there. Every defense has whether it's cover two or cover three, has a technique that needs to be played. And so we'll go into the game and say, hey, we're going to teach this player how to play, you know, three techniques, and with those three techniques, he can plug those into six defenses. And so if he can learn those three techniques and learn them in a short order with good coaching, then he could play six defenses for us. And so And that can get you through a game in a lot of cases. So that's what it is. We just boil it down to what can he do and teach him the techniques he needs to know, and then plug him into the defense called, and it's good communication. And these players have to understand, and they do, that you're not out there alone. You're just one guy. You have to do one job on one play.
You know, I think maybe I've relayed the conversation I had with Corey Undlin a couple of weeks ago about the veteran presence of Dwight Lowry, DeJuan Landry, and Drew Coleman, and what that's meant this year for your defense. How much does it mean to guys like Akwasi and Darcell McBath, who came in today, and Robert McClain, who's been in, and Morgan Trent and David Jones? And I mean, what does it mean to have those three guys in particular in that meeting room?
It's huge because those guys are like coaches on the field and off the field. Like, right now, we're doing a radio show right now, but it probably, DeJuan or Drew or Dwight, he's probably working with one of those young guys right now, maybe watching film with them and things like that, and when we can't be with them as coaches. And so that's huge because it's a race against time, and there's only so much time that we have with these guys to get them ready to play, and they can definitely show the way. And sometimes a coaching point coming from a player can have more impact than actually coming from a coach.
Well, it goes to prove that these guys really want to win badly. I mean, if they're willing to act like coaches, if they're willing to do those things, if they're willing to take the pride in what they do in their unit, I think that's something that's overlooked in the NFL a lot. People want the rah-rah mentor stuff. These guys want to win. Why they do it.
They want to win, and they prepare that way. These guys are championship mentality guys. And Gene Smith has done a great job in his evaluation. He says the character is a player's number one talent. So everyone on this team has tremendous character. A lot of these guys have been captains in junior high school, and college. They know what it is to be a leader. They know what it is to prepare to win. And ultimately, our goal is to win a championship. And so everything we do is going towards that goal. And whether it's for now or in the future, we're working towards that.
All right, one more break. We'll come back and wrap up this week's edition of the Jaguars Coaches Show with Mel Tucker after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. Brian Sexton with Mel Tucker. Don't forget, it is Thursday night football for the Jaguars. 8:20 kickoff on the NFL Network. And that means that we start the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue tailgate show at 5 o'clock. Then we pick up the entire network with the Sonny's pregame show. That's at 7 o'clock, right? So we've got about 20 extra minutes of our Sonny's pregame show. Kickoff 8:20, whistle-to-whistle coverage, Winn-Dixie postgame show, Southern Ford Dealers scoreboard show. You know, Coach, is your team, what's the right way to describe them right now? I'm focused, obviously, is the word that you've chosen, and it works. Are they a loose group? I mean, are they a group that that's excited? I mean, there's nothing to lose, really. I mean, they got a chance to go play and play hard on a big stage on Thursday night.
I think this is a loose group. They're very they enjoy being around each other, working hard together, and I think that's important. There's a lot of mutual respect in the locker room, we never have any locker room issues or things like that. Very, very unselfish group, and I think the team right now is disciplined and determined, and when you have discipline and determination, you got a chance to get something done.
Loose is probably not the right way to describe it, and nothing to lose really is either. Those are just terms that have been thrown out in sports for so many years, but I mean, this is a team that's obviously not playing for the playoffs, but they're playing for themselves and each other.
They are, and they're playing for each other. They're playing for themselves. They're playing for the organization. They're playing for the fans. They're playing for pride. And when you work hard, you do the right things, there's no need to be uptight and walk the halls with doubt. You know that you've done everything you can to prepare to give yourself the best chance to win.
All right. Coach Mel Tucker, thanks so much. Best of luck on Thursday in Atlanta for win number 2.
Thank you so much. See you next time.
That's the head coach. Good night, everybody.